Don't forget our pregame show will be live at Rock Bottom Brewery on Monday. Yes, from 5 until 7 p.m., getting you ready for kickoff. Monday Night Football, Titans hosting the Buffalo Bills. It's going to be a good time. If you're looking for a place to hang before the game, there's your place, Rock Bottom Brewery, downtown. If you're looking for a place to hang, whether you're not even going to the game, you're going to stay and watch the game, there's a place too. So go hang out there. NFL pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Bills legend. Yes, he is a Bills legend for sure. Former wide receiver Andre Reed is indeed on the line with us. Andre, how you doing?
Doing good, man. I'm in Nashville, great place. As I said before, I'm in the woods here in Franklin at a real nice woodsy house we got hooked up with. And it's really quiet and surreal here. And I was talking to you about being in Alaska. You know, if you're in the woods in Alaska, you might see some bear and all kinds of other stuff in there. But I don't know what they have down here, but they got some mosquitoes. I know that.
Yes, we have mosquitoes. There's no doubt about that, for sure.
Yeah.
When you look at this, we were actually talking about it all week, just looking at this Bills team. Honestly, and I'd love to hear your take on this. It reminds us of the Bills team that you were part of in that decade, in the 90s. I mean, they went four straight trips to the Super Bowl. I mean, what do you think? How good is this team?
This team is really good. And, all the credit goes to when they hired Sean McDermott, 4 years ago. They got Brandon Bean, who's a really good GM, knows personnel, knows how to bring people in and mesh them with the team and the coaching style that they have. Getting Josh Allen 4 years ago was, they haven't had a quarterback like Jim Kelly since I was there. And Josh has taken those reins and he's driving that car. And the front office did a great job of bringing guys in to compliment him on offense. And they're rolling. And I think people don't give a lot of credit to their defense right now. Their defense is number one in the league. Their offense is number one after 5 weeks. And that's all because these guys not only believe in themselves, they believe in what they're doing. And again, credit to Sean. Offensive coordinator Brian Daboll has been there a while now and has really, gave Josh the reins and really he's matured a lot in the game in the last 3 years compared to his first 2 years. And, he's just slanging it around and picking up Stephon. Emmanuel Sanders had a big game last week against Sunday night against Kansas City, a real viable guy that can complement Stephon. Dawson Knox had a great game. I mean, he's playing. He's tied for the league in attempts touchdowns for tight ends. Another viable weapon for Josh. The running game is good. It could be better. I think Zach Moss and Devin Singletary complement each other really well. One guy's a more of a scat back, and Devin and Moss is a little more of the power guy. So they got all the ingredients, man, for their offense to be very powerful, and it has been. Was I surprised that they were going to beat Kansas City like that? I think in a way, because Kansas City is Kansas City, Mahomes and Kelce and Tyreek and all the weapons they have. But I guarantee you last week they were watching all the Super Bowl film. They weren't watching the first four or five games of Kansas City because you know what you're going to get with them on offense. It's how do you corral them? How do you stop them from going on those 20, 25-point bursts with their offense? Obviously, their defense is their Achilles heel, and they're expected to score 30 points every game. It's up to offenses. Can you match that and score 30? And the Bills can do that now. But really what they did in the offseason is they focused on defense as far as the defensive line. And to beat Kansas City, you got to put pressure on the quarterback. And in this league, you got to put pressure on the quarterbacks. You got to put pressure on Russell. You got to put pressure on Tom Brady in some way. I mean, Tom is Tom, but you got to put pressure on these guys to make them uncomfortable. And in the Super Bowl last year, that's what Tampa Bay did: is disrupt, make them uncomfortable. Guys were dropping passes, they were fumbling. Kansas City is doing things in the first 4 weeks, 5 weeks that they haven't done since Mahomes, took over the reins there in Kansas City. So that's really what it's about. Leslie Frazier has done a great job with that defensive front and that defense. Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer are very underrated as a duo back there. I think they're top five in the league. They're very, very well known what they're doing there on defense and keeping those guys where they need to be. And as you saw on Sunday night, turnovers. And you get a pass rush up front, you're gonna get turnovers, and that's what they did. So I'm very proud of them and what they're doing now. Now they come into a bigger juggernaut, another juggernaut with Tennessee on Monday night with Derrick Henry. It's going to be D. Henry left, D. Henry right, D. Henry up the middle, D. Henry in a screen. That's Tennessee's offense. It goes as far as Derrick Henry's going to take them. And Tannehill is kind of one of those, you don't know, hit and miss quarterbacks. You don't know what you're going to get with him, but he's very, very, very efficient, you know, with that offense. A.J. Brown's a good receiver. Julio's Julio. And it's going to be a pretty good game in primetime there on Monday night. So I'm looking forward to seeing another high-scoring game possibly. But, each team has somebody to stop. And as far as the Bills go, they got to stop Derrick Henry. They've done a good job on him the last couple of times they played him. I think he had like 60 yards in rushing. But that's one of their main things they have to do, and they can figure out everything else.
Can you talk about the belief whenever a team knows that they're good and what that means? You experienced that. You guys knew you were good, and then it carried over to Sundays, or in this case it'll be on Monday night. How much does when you have that belief, when you know you have a rock solid roster, you know you're good, how much that can help you?
Oh, that's number one. You know, you can go all the way down to Pop Warner and high school and college. If you have that confidence that you know you could beat a team, that's just the first step to winning. Of course, you got to do the job on game day, but I'm sure down there at One Bills Drive, there's a big C on the front door for confidence, because they are a confident 45 guys that they can win any game at any time. And a confident team is a dangerous team. And that's what the Bills are feeling right now.
We're talking to Andre Reed, Pro Football Hall of Fame wide receiver, a lot of time with the Bills, the team that the Titans will battle on Monday Night Football. As you look at, you mentioned A.J. Brown, the Titans receiver in his third year, and he's really turned some heads through the first 2 years. And I know that position, like all positions in football, has changed, has evolved. But when you watch him, what do you see?
Well, it's a guy that not only can run every route, but 50-50 balls he's going to get most of the time, because he's a big receiver. You got to go through him. Just like his teammate back at Ole Miss, DK. If you want to get the ball from DK, you got to go through him, and that's 230 trying to go. That's like Calvin Johnson trying to go through Calvin Johnson to get the ball. But he's very, they complement each other. Him and Julio. Julio is a future Hall of Famer. There's no doubt about it. And what he's done in the league and Atlanta, and I know he's had some injury problems the past year or so, but when he gets on the field, it's like we still have to contend with Julio Jones, and those two together are very well complement each other. So, AJ's that kind of player, and he's deceptively fast when he catches the ball, but again, he's very good at the point of attack when the ball's up and getting up there and getting the ball. And then again, he's a big receiver, and you got to go through him to get it. So, nine times out of ten, he's going to come down with that ball.
Andre, when, it'd be simple to ask if a up-and-coming receiver asks you, hey, how do I be like you and one day make the Hall of Fame and have a gold jacket? But beyond the numbers and looking at not only receivers today, but receivers that played when you did and before, after, all of those things, how do you quantify in your mind, as somebody that got that call, what makes you good enough to be the best of the best and get that gold jacket?
That's a great question. I get that asked a lot. And, when you step on the field in any position, you want people to say, we have to contend with That's the guy that can beat us at any time, anywhere, on any field. That's what a Hall of Famer is. That means that every time he's on the field, that either on offense or defense, we have to do something. We got to do something that's going to either slow him down, or, you know, it's going to disrupt him from what he does best. And that's what a gold jacket is. That's at any position. You know, albeit kicker or punter. But it's, you know, that's what I feel a Hall of Famer is. Numbers, you know, my best year, I caught 95 balls my best year. That was a career year for me. I mean, I think I averaged probably 70 a year. But the game, like you said earlier, has changed. It's more of a passing game. It's in the last 15, 20 years because offenses have evolved in getting more skilled guys involved in game plans. Tight ends are catching 100 balls. Kelsey, you know, George Kittle, these guys are catching 100 balls a game. So the defenses have to contend with them, and maybe they have to give something up with the receivers when they come out in their set. Because some of the tight ends are like receivers. Darren Waller, the kid in Atlanta now, is going to be a good one. Kyle Pitts is going to be a good one. So it's all offensive-minded, and the defense is kind of in a bind because they got to pick the right guy that can cover this guy and maybe sacrifice something maybe in a running game or whatever. You know, the running game is still there. Back in the day, the run set up the pass. Now it's the pass sets up the run. And there's some good running backs out there. You know, the Kamaras and the McCaffreys and all these other guys that are scat backs that can catch balls out of the backfield, and they use them in different ways. And they try to, you know, confuse people. So that's why I see the game is gone. You know, since I came out of the game was, to a certain point, vanilla in a way. But it's not as vanilla now because it's more analytic. And you put stuff in a computer. You know, we didn't have computers when I played. we had the guys, you know, these guys take home iPads and they could do this and do that with their iPads. So you can't help but be ready on Sunday to play.
Well, and I ask this because, and you hit on it a little bit of just the different eras, but, you know, I'll use somebody and he helped set this interview up, and Derek Mason, our buddy. We know D Mace. We worked with D Mace.
I love some D Mason, man.
He's fantastic. But we've had the conversation with him. We've had the conversation without him. Of you look at the offenses that he played in, whether it was in Tennessee or Baltimore, that even though he put up some really good numbers, he almost got penalized because of it being a run-based, run-first type defense. He doesn't have the touchdown numbers that you have, and so therefore he's one of those guys that he's mentioned every year, but he's just on the outside looking in, and that's the hard part with this of guys that in certain eras they get penalized just because of the way the game was at the time.
Yeah, it's really unfair. And again, I'll loop back to what I said. When you were on the field, did they had to find you and they had to do something about you. And Derek Mason was one of those guys. And his numbers are good. I mean, there's guys when I went in 14 that had tremendous numbers. Guys like Urban Fryer, Henry Ellard, all these guys that were in the mid-80s had great numbers in the mid-80s. And the game has changed, and these guys get put back on, like you said, on the back burner, and that's unfair. And these guys deserve a shot at a gold jacket. Derek Mason deserves a shot at it. All these other guys deserve a shot at it. But, you know, these guys that do the voting, all of them are different. All of them have different ways of how they view the game than a player does. Because if players voted, it'd be no question then. But they obviously they're not going to let that happen. But, you know, Derek Mason did a tremendous job in Tennessee. It was a great player. He was a great player on that offense, you know, with Steve McNair, the late Steve McNair. And when he went to Baltimore, he played with Steve in Baltimore also. So
yep,
it's very unfair, but he definitely deserves to be in there. And there's a, you know, I've got a guy that I think that deserves to be in there. And he caught maybe 20 balls in his career. But he was the best special teamer ever in Steve Tasker.
Yeah.
You know, he's in his last year of eligibility as a modern era player. And if he doesn't get in next year, he goes to the senior pool, and that's even harder. So, you know, the whole thing has been talked about for years on how these, you know, guys vote and what's the criteria now. You know, because guys, again, going to catch their, you know, numbers are going to be inflated. Defenses are different. And it's unfair to guys like a Derek Mason who had a great career on two teams and definitely deserves to be a Hall of Famer.
Andre Reed is with us. And, Andre, we know the spotlight is not on Monday Night Football like it once was, now that we have the Sunday night game and the Thursday night game. I kind of miss what Monday Night Football used to be. But do you have a favorite memory of a Monday night game from your career?
You know, when I was a little kid, and then I got into high school and college. Well, I got into high school, and I remember my team was the Steelers. That was my team growing up. And I was a big Lin Swan and John Stallworth.
Oh, yeah.
Franco, Terry Bradshaw in that defense, you know, the steel curtain. That was my team. And I always used to ask my dad, if the Pittsburgh Steelers were on Monday night, can I just watch a half of the football game? Can I watch a half? And he would let me do that. So, yeah, it's a lot different. It definitely is a lot different. Monday night, my first Monday night game was in 89. I don't even know if you were born in 89, man. You might have been.
Oh, yeah. Oh, come on now. I'm going. You had me going with the steel curtain. I mean, that's my childhood there. I'm a little bit older. Yeah, I definitely remember those teams.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that's the prime time. I mean, that's the sweet spot, Monday Night Football from that era, for sure.
Yeah, and we were playing the Jets. It was my first primetime game, Monday Night Football in the Meadowlands, New York City in the Meadowlands. Now it's, you know, MetLife Stadium. And I remember how hyped I was for that game because I always dreamed about playing on Monday Night Football. Always dreamed about it. And walking on that field, I remember talking to Dan Dierdorf and Al Michaels. And we were having a good season. And it was kind of like maybe, you know, not halfway through the season yet. So it was an important game in the division against the Jets. And the Jets were always that kind of team that you had to beat them really bad to beat them because they always were always going to give you a good game. But, you know, talking to those two guys, you know, it was a dream come true to talk to those two guys on Monday Night Football. And, you know, what a great game it was. And I think I had two touchdowns that game. And that was a thrill for me, man, Monday Night Football, my first one.
Well, Andre, it's been good to talk to you today and appreciate it. It's going to be a fun one Monday night. But I know you're in town, so yeah. What all do you have going on this weekend?
Well, I am actually going to be at you mentioned – what was that bar you mentioned that you're going to be at? You got Bottoms Up or what was it
called? Oh, Rock Bottom.
Rock Bottom. I'm actually going to be at City Tap there from 3 to 5 on Sunday with a bunch of Bills backers, Bills Mafia.
It's going to be an invasion. I feel like it's going to be an invasion from Western New York.
It's going to be an invasion, man. The Bills fans, especially Bills Mafia, are, you know, they were voted the best fans, you know, not saying the Titans fans, but they were voted the best fans in the league. And they are the best traveling team in the NFL as far as fans go. They even got their own when they voted them the best. They did a survey. They were voted the best fans in the league, and they were able to put a billboard up at any stadium. And guess what stadium they picked and put it up at? I'm gonna let you guess.
But in Buffalo?
No, they put it in New England.
Of course they did.
Come on. So 2 weeks before the game, the billboard was up right by the stadium in New England.
That's fantastic.
That's great.
That was their prize for being the best fans to put it up in any stadium, and they picked New England to put it up at. But, yeah, man, so I'm going to be down at City Tap hanging out there. We're going to be doing stuff for my foundation and my reading program, donations and saying hello to the fans, doing some meet and greet stuff down there from 3 to 5. But I'm actually here also for my reading program. I'm going to a Boys and Girls Club here in the Nashville area.
Very cool.
Awesome. Later today. A couple of the Titans are coming down. I think Derek might be coming down. I don't know. I mentioned it to him. We're going to be talking to some kids about how important reading is, you know, what it can do for you in your life, and how important, you know, in anything, if you can't read, it's you know, you're behind the eight ball a little bit. So I've had this program for about 4 or 5 years now. We've been in I've been to 64 Boys and Girls Club. I was a club kid, 64 Boys and Girls Club kids in the last 5 years, all the way from Alaska down to Florida, you know, telling kids how important reading 30 minutes a day is, knowledge is power, all the things that are going to give these kids another notch in their belt to be anything they want to be. So we're doing that also today.
Well, Andre, best of luck with all of that. That's awesome. And we will talk to you again down the road.
Yes, and if anybody wants to come down by to the Tap House after Rock Bottom, you could see how crazy some of these Bills fans and Bills Mafia is.
I can't wait to see, because I know they are going to have a good time before the game Monday. Thanks, Andre.
Definitely. I appreciate it, guys.
Andre Reed, Hall of Fame wide receiver, joining us on some of those great Bills teams back in the late 80s and then the 90s.
Great
teams. I mean, played for 16 years in the league and earned that gold jacket for sure. But, yeah, they're going to get crazy on Monday.
It's starting today, I'm sure. Like tonight, downtown's going to get crazy. And then tomorrow, we'll see it firsthand. When we go to Bridgestone Arena, downtown's going to be nuts, and there's going to be Bills fans everywhere. Yeah, they're not waiting till Monday. My guess, the invasion begins starting tonight and all through the weekend.
No doubt.
It's going to be nuts. It's going to be a fun, fun atmosphere for sure. Now we'll see how the game plays out. Are the Titans going to get some good news with some bodies coming back? Tell you what, the Roger Saffold news scares the you-know-what out of me. The offensive line, period. This has not been a good week for the offensive line. It's not been a good year for the offensive line. The hits just keep coming, and I don't know how much that's going to play a part in what takes place on Monday, but I don't have a good feeling right now about the offensive line. There's huge concerns, for sure.
I keep wondering about a trade. I mean, it won't help them for Monday, but I'm just thinking, and the deadline's coming up. Right? When's the deadline?
It's week eight. It's the early November.
They moved it back, but like
I think it's like the beginning of November.
I'm not sure the exact date.
I'm not sure what they've got in house is good enough right now, especially depth wise. But this is, and I don't know who's out there.
November 2nd. Tuesday, November 2nd is the trade deadline.
Because to me, it's the most glaring thing, especially if the injuries keep mounting with Saffold. It just looks like it's going to be a thing every week with these guys.
Yeah.
Certainly looks that way. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, what offensive lineman are you going to find in week 6 or 7 or 8?
That's the question. That's why you have a great scouting department, understanding around the league and what you'd be willing to give up. I just keep coming back to this. You've built this roster to win this year, and that's a commitment that they made with how they've gone salary cap wise, with where Derrick Henry is in his career, where Ryan Tannehill is in his career, where Julio Jones is. So you have to look at it, and it's not going to be fun down the road in a couple years when they're going to have to retool it and do it in a different way. I don't know how quickly the reshuffle, the transition is going to happen. But where you have that window open, I just don't think you can have a lousy offensive line every week with a bunch of banged up guys. Right now, they got issues there.
Well, it's not even just banged up guys. It's guys banged up and guys that
not playing
just
well.
Don't appear to look to be good enough. I mean, don't forget, when you say go out and make a trade, I mean, they had the whole offseason, they identified Kendall Lamb as a guy they wanted to bring into the mix. Right? I mean, Kendall Lamb, that's the guy they identified and went after and got in the offseason. And what's his production level for this team?
Well, we know the answer. That's why I'm bringing it up.
That, yeah.
You know, who's out there for trade? Anyone?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyone? Class?
Nobody.
Bueller?
Let me pass this on. We talked about this game earlier today with Joe Dubin, but just seen this on Twitter. Rockvale and Blackman, kickoff has been moved up to 6 o'clock due to weather.
Yeah, Titans pushed their practice into the bubble, so you can tell weather is a concern this afternoon and this evening. So, yeah, just keep that in mind, especially if you're going to a game tonight, that weather could be an issue. It could be some storms and stuff, so... Yeah, thanks for passing that along. All right, we'll come back. We'll start the final hour of Darren Donick and Chase with little pick six. That's next.